Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Calm yourself down.
Who's, man?
You.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm singing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to put it down the babies. Put down the pepperoni.
Let's go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Game time.
Well, parents, this is another wonderful show, Parents Coach and Parent Network. I'm your host, M.H. Scott. And as always, I will promise you another wonderful, wonderful, wonderful show. We're going to be talking about some things this afternoon that I think you should be in tune with as parents. You know, as I think about this show this afternoon, the speaker that we're going to have on, his program, his organization kind of sort of embodies everything that the Parent Coach and Parent Network is all about. And hopefully you'll get something out of this today. You know, as always, I like to tell you, you know, get your pen, pad, paper out, and be prepared to take some good notes. And always, always, if you have a question, you're interested in calling in and asking our guests some questions today, you can reach us at 646-929-2416. 646-929-2416. You can call in and talk to our guests anytime you desire or have a question. The machine will prompt you and let you know that I have a caller on the line, and I'll bring you up, and you can talk to our guests if you have any questions. Again, the number is 646-929-2416. But as always, you know I can't start my show without giving my man, Mr. Keith Wright, a little something. He always came up with this nice little jingle for us. So where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
Man, Mr. Keith Wright just said he's making smart cool. Again, I tell you, Keith is a student at the University of Harvard, playing basketball at the University of Harvard. We had Keith on the show some time ago, and Keith shared some things with us as far as time management and how he was able to manage his time and still be able to make it out there on the court and do his thing out there on the court. So, you know, a big, proud, cheer, heartfelt thanks to Keith for putting that together for us, and at the same time, continue on your path there, young man. I know you listen from time to time. Continue on your path, and we're looking forward to hearing you doing great things later on in the future. But, again, parents, I say we have a great show lined up for you today. We have a gentleman by the name of Mr. David Benzel. David Benzel. And I'm going to talk a little bit about David here in a minute, but like I said earlier on at the opening of the show, David's organization embodies everything that the Parents Coach and Parent Network has been trying to do over the last few years. Our overall goal, or should I say our mission, is your success. And I've said that from time to time, and I will continue to say that, and I will keep saying that. Our mission is your success. And what I mean by that is, you know, we're not able to function and we're not doing our part in this challenge without making sure that you're successful at the end of the day and getting your child into school and having a successful career. Whether or not he's in school playing at, you know, playing at a Division One, Two, Three level, junior college, NAIA, whatever, it doesn't make a difference as long as he or she is in school and doing something on a positive note and staying in school, you know. And even if they don't make it to the point of getting to school and playing, they're attempting to go to school or they're going to school and being successful at that as well. Well, it looks like we have our caller on the line with us today. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about our guest, Mr. David Benzel. You know, I was looking at some of the things that I received in his bio, and I was mostly really, really, really and truly impressed by things that I've seen. Had an opportunity to talk to David earlier this week, and, you know, we shared some things and thoughts. And I think we're going to have a very successful show. Again, if you want to call in and talk to us for a little while, you can reach us at 646-929-2416. 646-929-2416. Well, without further ado, let's talk about Mr. David Benzel. David Benzel is an 8-time national water skiing champion. Okay, 8-time national. Not one, not two, not three. Okay, I'm not going to go into that. We're not the Miami Heat. But anyway, 8-time national water skiing champion. He is a 5-time national record holder, okay? He's coached the U.S. Water skiing team at the World Championship. He coached them to victory. And, you know, that's a heavy defeat. Not only just going out there coaching, but you're coaching the team to victory. So that means that you're putting in some serious effort, some serious time, and making things happen for your athletes and getting your athletes to understand what they should and shouldn't be doing. He's had an experience of 10 years working for ESPN as a commentator and is the founder of Growing Champions for Life. Growing Champions for Life. And that's the organization I was talking about earlier when I said that that organization embodies everything that the Parent Culture Parent Network is trying to do. Growing Champions for Life. Growing Champions for Life is a nonprofit organization dedicated to improving the youth experience in America by providing parents with a positive strategy and practical tools for building cohesive families and principles-centered athletes. You know, that's a lot of work in itself. One, he's helping you pull your family together and work around the things that you should be doing as parents, and at the same time, help you build a principles-centered athlete. In other words, that athlete is focused. That athlete is on point, on game, okay? And I said, you know, earlier, you know, everything that that organization is doing is what we should be doing at the Parents Coach Parent Network. But I just shared just a little tip, and this is why I want to cap it off with before we bring David on the air with us, is that David is also a father, and I believe of two children, two wonderful children, and both of them children have went on to play sports at the next level. What I mean by the next level, both at the college level and I believe, and I'll let David correct us when he come on the line, was at the professional level as well. Let's see if we got David on the air with us so we can move on and hopefully he can share some great information with us today. David, are you on?
Good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you today?
I'm terrific. I guess it's afternoon already, isn't it?
That it is on this end. That it is.
Can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, good.
So, you know, we had a chance to tell a little bit about yourself, and I know I identified that you have two children as well. And, you know, being a parent of athletes, student athletes, how did that energize you being an athlete yourself? Did the children feel the pressure to having to live up to your standards?
You know, I think when parents are very involved in athletics, that always sort of sets the tone that children just sort of assume, well, I'm going to be in sports too, because they just see it as part of the family lifestyle. And in our case, that was true because both my wife and I were still competing in water skiing at the time that our children were born. So our daughter started skiing when she was like 3 years old and started competing when she was 7 or 8. our son got into water skiing at first and then decided he was more interested in team sports. So he was our baseball player, football player, basketball player, soccer player. All these team sports is what he was really interested in. And so, you know, I'm sure there was some feelings of expectation on their part, but we were trying to be very careful to let our children choose what they wanted to do and to say when they wanted to do it. And, boy, they took off. You know, our daughter also played soccer and was a competitive swimmer before she finally specialized in just her water skiing. And now she is today a professional wakeboarder. And our son is a professional baseball player.
Okay. You know, and I'm glad you brought up that point about you allow them to choose what direction they want to go and what things they want to do, because oftentimes I find that to be a burnout for some kids and some parents, well, for some kids, because parents push them so hard and so hard. You know, let's talk a little bit about that relationship between the parents and the athletes.
Yeah, it is one that is certainly challenging, because we get our children without an owner's manual, and every parent I know loves their children, but when sports starts to get in there, in the mix, and it doesn't even have to be sports. Sometimes it's drama. You know, at school, if you're in the drama department, if you're in the art department, if you're into computers, or if you're into anything where performance seems to be a factor, where how well a child performs. It could be just academically. If that's important to parents, sometimes it gets tricky in sending the message of unconditional love, because that's really supposed to be the nature of the relationship. It's the one place where a child should be able to feel loved no matter how they perform. And what happens is that parents inadvertently send the message that love is delivered in proportion to performance delivered. So we don't mean that, of course, for our kids. We love them all the time. But sometimes when we show them how happy we are when they do well, and then we also display how unhappy we are when they don't do well, if that's what we do with our body language and our words, they can tell that we're unhappy when they don't, you know, do well in a performance. We are disappointed for them, but they think we're disappointed in them. And that creates this impression that love is in equal proportion to performance delivered. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Definitely. And parents, I hope you caught all that, but if you didn't catch it again, you can always call in sometime during the show. Reach us at 646-929-2416. You know, David, you know, you brought up some good points there when you started talking about love and how they interpret love. You know, oftentimes I've seen where parents are trying to, and maybe this may be a little bit too harsh, but parents are trying to live their dream through their children. Can you touch on that just a little bit?
Yeah, of course, at the heart of that, because that phrase is thrown around quite a bit. I hear that same thing about, you know, parents living through their children, their own dreams. But when we really get down to the basics of that, what that's all about is a parent's ego. And a parent's ego is something where a parent has a feeling of what they want. So if for instance, you come home from your son's baseball game and they lost, and or your son didn't play very well, he struck out 3 times, and you lay your head down on the pillow, and you have this nagging sleepless night because you had a feeling like, I really needed my son to do well, or I really needed our team to win, that should tell you right then and there that that's your ego talking, not what's really in the best interest of your child's experience. And so when our own egos, almost as if we're on the field playing, almost as if when our children don't do well, we're embarrassed, that's the problem. And we have to look at our child's athletic experience as a gift we give to them, and it has nothing to do with us. It's a no-strings-attached gift. And we are to be there to watch and enjoy, but not to let our feelings, our emotions, and our ego get caught up in how the team does or how even how our child does. It's theirs, not ours.
Exactly. You know, say that again, David, that no strings attached, because I think that is probably one of the biggest things I've seen parents over the 23 years I've been watching my son out there messing around and playing around, doing things like that. That's the biggest thing I see parents miss out on, where they think that they are somehow tied into the game. You know,
yeah.
And those attached part is like a big critical issue with me. And I drive that point to the parents of the Parents Coach Parent Network all the time.
Yeah. You know, see, if we think back to when we first let our children get involved in sports, we took them to, you know, whether it was a T-ball or Mighty Mites football or, you know, little tumbling tots gymnastics, whatever it was, we took them the first time because we wanted to give them an experience. It was a no-strings-attached gift to them. And then something happens to us in the process. I think it happens to us. It doesn't happen to them. It happens to us as we start to invest more time and money and energy, and we start to look at how many hours we're putting into this or how many dollars we're putting into it. All of a sudden, we start to look at this and we say, now, you better work hard. And you better perform well. Even if we don't say it out loud, we're kind of thinking this. And that really is saying it's not a no-strings deal attached anymore. It's not. It's now become, I expect this of you. And why do we think that we have the right to do that if we gave it as a gift in the first place? It really should be no strings attached. It's your sport. Go play it to whatever degree you want to. I want you to have fun. I certainly want you to try hard, you know, but if you're not enjoying it, let's move on to something else. And kids always work, well, not always, but kids typically work harder at something they're enjoying. But if they start to think, well, I'm really doing this just to keep mom and dad happy, don't expect them to work very hard because they're doing it for the wrong reasons.
Exactly. You know, I've told my son this several times. I have two boys of my own, and I tell them this all the time just before they go out there to get involved in the competition of sports. Hey, have fun. You know, I'll yell it out, you know, just before the game starts. Have fun. You know, nobody knows who I'm talking to, but my son knows who I'm talking to, and that's all I'll say to him. You know, I'll sit there. I may say something throughout the game, like most parents, but I don't get to the point where I'm being criticized, criticizing him or being very critical of his performance if he's not performing well, you know. So on that note, when is the best time to have that conversation?
You mean about their performance?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, I made this mistake a lot because I used to think that right after a game or right after a competition, I used to think that was a teachable moment. And I used to think that, you know, it was fresh in everybody's mind, and I had been watching, I had been observing and taking mental notes, and I couldn't wait to pull my child aside and you know, start teaching them things that they could have done differently. And I learned the hard way that that is not a teachable moment. It is a time when I was being very logical, and children are not logical after a game. They are actually quite emotional, either because they played well or because they didn't play well. But emotions are dominating their essence at that time, whereas I'm being very analytical and logical. Well, you know, anybody who's been married for any length of time at all knows that emotions and logic don't mix very well. And you know, only single people don't get that. But when you're married, you know that if two people are not having a very productive conversation, maybe it's because one of them is being emotional and one's being logical. You have to wait. And so my wife was the one who taught me to actually wait to talk about what might be learned by a competition or a game, to wait until I got invited into the conversation. And so what I teach now and what I've found to be so helpful is that after a competition, my questions are about, are you hungry? Are you thirsty? I really enjoyed watching you play. I'm always proud of you. Things like that. And then I just wait. And it might be, you know, 10 minutes later. It might be an hour later. It could even be the next day before my child would come to me and say, you know, what happened to me in the third inning yesterday? I can't believe I made that mistake. But I get invited into the conversation. Now it's time to share what I saw. But only because I got invited in, rather than me saying, we're going to talk about this game right now, whether you're ready to or not. That doesn't
okay,
work.
Parents, if you missed that, parents, if you missed that, he just gave you two good nuggets there. One, logical versus emotional. That was a teachable moment right there for all of us parents to make note of that and make sure that we're on the same page with that. And we should be making notes on that and putting that down on paper. Secondly, be invited to the conversation.
Right.
Be invited to the conversation. David, you couldn't have hit that that nail on top of the head no better than any point that I've ever made. Be invited to the conversation. You know, because if you're not being invited to the conversation and you're trying to force the conversation, then oftentimes you find yourself being too critical, you know.
Well, and they get defensive. I mean, who doesn't? They get defensive, and then the conversation doesn't go very well.
Well, okay, on that note, how do we encourage without being too critical?
Well, it's very tempting for us as parents to forget what our main assignment is. Our main assignment is to be an observer and to enjoy and to encourage. It is not to judge. We were never given the assignment to judge our children during their sporting events. That was not part of the deal. That's something that we have assumed that we're supposed to do, but that's really not our assignment. There are other people who are supposed to fill that role if necessary, and that would be the coach. And so I believe that the kids need one safe place to go after any practice or after any game where they can be safe and free from judgment. And that's the essence of unconditional love, is to be free from judging. In other words, free from having my performance judged. Now, if a child misbehaves during a game, all right, then a parent can step up and say, hey, wait a minute now. That's not the way we behave in this family. That does not coincide with our values as a family. And so, no, you may not throw a little temper tantrum during a game, and, you know, there might have to be some consequences for that. But I'm talking about when a child doesn't play up to your hopes, their expectations, and we become a judge or a critic. We were never given permission to do that. We're only supposed to observe and enjoy. And the sooner we can get that in our head and just sit back and be the encourager and provide that one safe place where they know that no matter how they play the game, they're going to be loved unconditionally afterwards.
Okay. Parents, I hope you're getting all this down. If you're not getting all this down, please go back and listen to the show again and again and again until you get all this information down. Because like I said at the beginning of the show, David's organization, and make sure I got the title of the organization right, Growing Champions for Life. How did you come up with that name, Dave? I'm sidetracking for a second. How did you
come up
with that
name? Yeah,
no,
that's fine. That's fine. I wrestled for quite some time to come up with the right name for the organization, and I think we all want, of course, to help our children reach their fullest potential. And I realized that I wanted my children to be champions of life most of all. You know, the whole sport thing is just a chapter in this bigger book called life. And so I just thought we ought to be committed to growing champions, not for a game, not for a season, but for life. And so sports for me is a vehicle for teaching life lessons, no matter how far a child goes in sports. My son is, you know, like I said, this very passionate baseball player, but he looked at the career of Mickey Mantle, who played until almost age 40 before he retired. And my son realized, okay, he's 40 years old. If he lives to 80, he's only halfway through his life. He's got another 40 years. So baseball cannot be all that there is because he's only halfway, and he had a long career. Most guys don't play till 40. So you better be thinking about how do I master life, not just how do I master sports. And as parents, I thought, you know, sport mastery is a small part of life mastery. Are you still there? I can't hear you right now. Maybe I'll call back, see if I can get back in.
Hey, David, somehow we got disconnected.
I'm back on.
Okay. All right. Hopefully we won't have that glitch again. And if so, just call me right back and we can keep things going. I'm sorry. So I'm not even sure what we got disconnected at. I know you were talking about the name and how you were talking about the name of the organization. Initially is set up for, you know, having folks understand it's something that you're dealing with in life, not just centered around sports, but overall picture is growing champions for life, you know.
That's right.
Developing life skills. And you were talking about your son, how your son took on, looked at Mickey Mantle and realized that he played up to the age of 40. And then I think that's where we cut off at.
Yeah, and the point was that you know, even though he had a longer career than most, he still had a long life to go, and you can't think that sport is the only thing in life. It's just a chapter, and so life mastery is actually more important than sport mastery.
Exactly. You know, parents, oftentimes I think we miss that opportunity, or we think that everything is centered around sports, and I've seen too many different situations, and talking about some of the recent NCAA violations, you know, where I think folks lose their focus on what the true goal is, and the true goal is setting up your life or your goals and your career and your character for your entire life, not just for that 5 or 10 minutes that they're involved in sports, whether or not it's at the collegiate level or whether or not it's at the professional level. You know, in some cases, even at the high school level, we get carried away with looking at the wrong focus and not realizing that this is a life learning lesson. What I talk about oftentimes, Dave, I talk to folks about life skills, what I call life skills, your decisions, your choices, your decisions, and your consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at them and you don't balance those things correctly, what ends up happening in the long run, you make some bad decisions. You know, you made some bad choices, and then you follow that with a bad decision to follow that, and then the consequence turns out to be something that doesn't benefit you in the long run.
Yeah, that sounds exactly right.
You know, how do we help the athletes realize that, you know, the things that they're doing or that these things that they're learning in sports are life-sustaining goals, things that they can work towards later on in life?
Yeah, you know, that's a really good question, because they don't have the long-term vision that we have because they're so much younger. You know, we're old enough to see that sport is a chapter in the book, not the whole book, and they have a little trouble seeing that. And so this comes down to what kind of a relationship do you have with your child? Do you have the kind of relationship where you talk about life, and you talk about the things that you've learned? And when parents share openly and honestly, you know, some of the lessons they learned, even the ones they learned the hard way, and they share those not in a there's a temptation to say, and so you should do it this way. You know, I don't think should works very well with kids. They don't want to hear should. But you can share in a very transparent and humble way the lessons that you learned as a child growing up and as a young adult and say, you know, you're going to have to make your own choices, son. You know, you're going to have to figure this out. But I'll share with you what I learned. And one of the things I learned was that, you know, I've got to do well in school. I've got to do well in building my relationships with other people. And when I go to sports, I've got to try hard because I get better results when I try hard. And you share that in terms of what you learned, and then you look at them and you say, but you're going to have to make your own choices.
Okay. I think we may get cut off here, but don't worry about it. I'll come right back to you. I'm going to try something here to make sure that we're still up and running.